I entitled this morning's message, Say So. And you may know, out of, I think the King James says it from Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it's interesting. It starts off, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The NIV or New Living says, watch this. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. So I want to ask you a question, and maybe I don't need it at this church, but do you say so? Do you speak out? I mean, here you got 30-plus members in another country right now that are saying so, right? I really believe we can always encourage ourselves along that line. Not just the gospel, but how about what the Lord has done in your own life? I believe it's Mark chapter 5. Remember the demoniac who was chained and living among the tombs? He was demonized, possessed by demons, and Jesus crosses the water, and when he arrives, the demons scream, and the man falls at his feet, and are you come to torture us? And eventually, Jesus cast the demons out, but they didn't want to just leave. They wanted to go into the pigs, remember? And the pigs off the cliff and drowned. And what's amazing, though, is the next scene you see is this man who was so demonized and out of control was clothed and in his right mind. God's a good God, amen? And the people that had left and come back and saw this man clothed in his right mind, and the people, they were afraid. It's interesting. They weren't afraid when he was demonized. They were afraid when he was set free. There's something about that picture, but nonetheless. And the world can be like that, just so you know. But isn't it interesting? Watch what happens. When Jesus started to go back across the water, the man begged, hey, I'm going with you. What you've done for me. And Jesus told him, no. What? I want to follow Jesus. And he says, no. Why did he tell him no? He said, no. Go home and tell them what great things God has done for you. And he actually does go back. It's called Decapolis. It's 10 towns. And history records a mighty revival sweeping through those 10 towns from that one man that went back to say so. So let me ask, even your neighbors, do you say so? Little things? How about in the scripture, the blind man, you know his testimony. I once was blind, but now I... Simple testimony, saying so. How about the woman that was... she'd already been married 5 times. Now she's living with a guy that wasn't even her husband. And she went to the well, encounters Jesus. And that simple encounter, not only does Jesus reveal to her that he's the Christ, the Messiah, but it so impacted her, she went to town and she said so. She said, come see a man that's told me all. So let me ask you a question. Do the people around you, where you live, where you work, where you go to school, have they heard you say so? I mean, ultimately, that's really why we're still here. You know, I think one of my life verses is, Acts 20:24, and as the brother prayed, it made me think of this because, well, I'll just share this. I have the opportunity to do lots of things, okay? And one of them is I teach a lot of the perspectives courses, if you ever heard of it. And I do chapter 5, Unleashing the Gospel. And I remember I was in this class one evening. I was teaching at another church, and something had just happened with ISIS and was on the news, and it was during break, and I came back in, so people were watching the screen. We came back into class after our intermission, and maybe there's 50 people in the class. And it was very interesting. Earlier that day, I had spoken to some missionaries that were in the Middle East in a very tense situation. And I asked them, how can I pray for you? And they answered me. So now I'm teaching this class. I said, what do you think their number one prayer request was? You know, in the midst of it. And two men answered at the same time, out loud, on both sides of the class. And you thought they said the same thing. No. One said, this guy said, safety. The other guy said, salvation. Do we focus on eternity? And I believe we can ask for both. Amen. We got a good God. As a matter of fact, in line with that, in Acts 20:24, Paul says, in order that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry to testify of the gospel of God's grace. And I love the New Living. Watch this. My life is worth nothing unless I use it to finish the work assigned me. The work of what? The work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of telling others. The work of saying so about God's wonderful love, His grace, and His kindness. So watch. You want to walk in safety? How do you walk in safety? How do you walk in safety in this world? The only way to walk in safety is to stay in the will of God. I mean, listen, when you stay in the will of God, you can think you're safe and working in a tower. You can think you're safe walking outside these doors or sitting in your home. The only safety is in Christ. But watch, if you're focused on God's kingdom and on His assignment, God keeps you safe. Paul's a prisoner, but he's on assignment. All of a sudden, they're at sea. They're taking him, heading off to Rome. And a storm rises up that lasted for days and nights. And all these men are freaking out. And they've finally thrown everything off the ship. And when all hope was gone, when they knew they were going to perish, what happens? An angel comes to Paul, who's a prisoner, and he says, don't be afraid. Why not? You must stand before Caesar. What he's saying? Don't be afraid. God's not done with you. God's not finished with you. God still wants to use you to say so to others of who Christ is. So watch, when you focus on that, God keeps you. As a matter of fact, I love this. And watch what the angel said to Paul. He says, not only are you going to make it, but the Lord has graciously given you the lives of them that sail with you. Paul's the prisoner, but because he was on assignment for God, that boat belonged to him. Those people belonged to him. And God's grace even kept them. So watch, until you know your assignment, well, I can tell you assignment is always share the love of Christ, amen? But until you know specifically, listen, hook up with a church, hook up with a mission, hook up with a group, watch this, that is focused on Jesus and the kingdom. Because if you hook up with them and you're not even sure your purpose yet, God will keep you because you're hooked up with people that's on His business. Amen? Listen, that's a good reason enough to be in a community of believers. God's grace. So it's interesting because Paul says, I want to finish my course. Well, shipwreck survives. Then they get on an island, snake bites him, remember, and he's supposed to die. What did he do? He shook it off. Why? Because God wasn't done with him. So I just want to encourage you, stay focused on the kingdom of God. Stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on eternity, and God will keep you. And you, listen, I've learned, I don't want to go that right. I got a message here to speak. You guys give me too much freedom here, so. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:13, I'll just take out one verse. Listen to what he said. He's quoting a psalmist. He said, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak, we say so. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. So if you know God raised Jesus from the dead and you're going to be raised with Him, we need to not only believe, we need to say so. Amen? And I'm going to share some scriptures here. And you know them. Because Christ tells us to say so, right? I probably on the scripture somewhere in the church in one of these rooms. What does He tell the disciples before He ascends to heaven in Matthew 28? What He said? He said, go and make disciples. Of who? Of all nations. Baptizing name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what? And teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. In other words, say so. How does He say to Mark 16 as He ascends? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, every creature. Go and preach. Go and say so. So just look at your neighbor and say so. Okay, let me try that again. Look at your other neighbor and say so. Listen, He says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, what will they do? They'll cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, that shall not harm them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And watch this. And then it says something. They went out, and then Jesus confirmed his word to his disciples by signs, wonders, and miracles. He confirmed what? His word. What word? The words that they spoke that he commanded them to speak. So, listen, do you want God to move in your life? We have to say what Christ says, say what the word of God says. Amen? So, along that lines, Romans chapter 1. You don't need to turn down. I'm going to just choose a couple of verses. Because I'm skipping to jump. I just sense you're such a mission-minded church. So I think I want to touch on some things. Why? What is it really when we go to preach the gospel? Some of you may be able to quote Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen? Are you not ashamed of the gospel? And what does he say? For it's the power of God unto salvation. To whom? Those who believe. To the Jew first and the Gentiles. Why is it the power of God unto salvation? Why? Because it doesn't stop there. He says, because they're into, watch this, what happens with the gospel? And it's along the lines, if we were going to Romans 4, that whole justification, that righteousness, watch it. Because therein, watch this, the righteousness of God is revealed. Well, what does that mean? It means, how do I get in right standing with God? The gospel shows me how to make me right with God. And it's all by the grace of God. And we'll see that. As a matter of fact, before I even show you that, watch how important righteousness is. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, great. This guy is good on the... Hebrews chapter 5, I love that. And I go... Can I look like this too? If we can go to Hebrews chapter 5, this is great. I love this. This guy's good, man. I go to some church and I'm 20 verses later and they're already... Okay. There's a lot there, and he's talking about Christ and what he learned through obedience and sorrow, but then how he was... placed in the order after Melchizedek, and the writer wanted to say more. Watch this. He wanted to tell them more, but he stopped, and he couldn't. So let's jump down to verse 11. Watch what he says to them. This is pretty amazing to me. He says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Watch this. Keep going. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. So now look at this. Some of them been in, watch, 3 decades. Some of them been in Christ, in the church, and they were still babies. So why? Tell me why. And he goes on, watch, and we're going to keep reading. Watch this. But watch, he's kind of explaining why some people never grow up, why some people fall and never get back up, and simply said, how some people never really share the good news, the gospel. They never say so. Why? Why are they still babies? Is it possible to be at First Philippine Baptist Church for 20 years, 30 years, and still be a baby? I don't think so, because you got teachers here and you got a new pastor that love God and his word. But that's not always the case. Especially, you need to feed yourselves. Amen? So watch what he says. It's really interesting. Back up one more. So watch this. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Why? Watch this. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about what? That's an amazing statement to me. That because we're not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, we're still babies, we need milk, we're infants. So how important is this righteousness? Not just having it, but having some understanding of what it is. You know, Jesus said in the parable of the sower to seed, Satan comes immediately to steal the word sown in your heart. Why? Because you don't understand.
So we need some understanding, amen? We can't understand all, but God will reveal to us what we need to understand. So let me ask you this. Do you understand righteousness? Listen, I was raised Muslim. I thought I was righteous by my prayers and my fastings. As a matter of fact, even before we go there, let's get Romans 10. This guy's so good, I think I'm going to get him up here. Romans chapter 10. Well, let's start at the beginning of Romans 10. Watch. Moses writes this about the right... About the what? The righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. Let's keep going. Watch this. But the righteousness that is by faith, did we skip something? Did we start at verse 1? Man, I was complimenting this guy. Let's go to Romans 10, verse 1. Because what happens, watch this, sometimes we think, especially religion, we think we're going to make ourselves righteous. We're gonna have righteousness of our own. And that's what the Jews would do. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, prayers for God, to God for the Israelites, that they may be saved. And we want everyone to be saved, right? So let's keep going. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now, we can get caught in that, okay? So, listen, if you don't have righteousness by grace, you ain't got nothing, man. So watch this. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. I like this. Say believes. Okay, keep going. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. In other words, you want to be righteous by the law? You got to be perfect. You got to obey every command and never mess up. Anybody been there? No, the only one is Christ Jesus. Amen? So then he tells, let's keep going. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, bring Christ up. Let's keep going. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Where is it? It's in your what? Your mouth and your... Listen, God's grace puts it in our mouth and our heart. And if we believe and we confess, we can walk in righteousness that is so imparted to us that this even the demons would tremble when you step. So watch this. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and your heart. Anyway, if you declare with your mouth, this is good. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it's all by the grace of God. Let's keep reading. For it is with your heart you believe, justified. With your mouth you profess your faith and you are saved. Now, you know what I've discovered? There are many people that believe, but they never do confess. They never say so. As a matter of fact, in my travels, particularly in the Middle East, I have sensed hundreds of Muslims that actually believe in Jesus. But you know what? They've never been able to profess to confess. And I thought, well, God, what is this? Because I thought the bigger issues were, you know, like the incarnation, the Son of God, the Trinity, redemption, forgiveness, the crucifixion, the resurrection, that in a Muslim mindset, none of those could take place. That we believe as a Muslim that Christians corrupted the teachings of Jesus and took this prophet and made him to be the Son of God. So that's in every Muslim mindset. But it's amazing how the Spirit of God could sift through that, especially with the power of the Word of God, and scales begin to be removed, and they start to see who Jesus really is. But why don't they profess? Why can't they confess? I thought, well, what are the... And I've discovered just through experience, you know the number one issue why Muslims don't confess even when they believe? Family, fear, society, culture. And really, for me, it was... It was the fear. Why? Because it's such an honor, shame-based culture. Watch this. As a Muslim, I would rather be wrong than bring shame and dishonor to my family. Did you catch that? So that's their mindset. So there are many that believe, but have not yet confessed. But by the grace of God, more and more are confessing. Praise God. Amen. So let's keep reading. For the heart you believe, justified, mouth profess, you're saved. So keep going. Let's see what it says. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew, Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can stop there. So I want you to see, watch, because we're talking about righteousness, not that we earn or we develop on our own. It's a gift from God we receive by grace, because Christ is the only one that fulfilled all righteousness. Amen? So, gosh, what time does church end here? It's like I haven't even got to my message yet. But okay, I'm going to share one more thing, and then I want to show you something. Watch how powerful it is to tell. In Luke chapter 16, you probably know the story, the rich man and Lazarus, remember? And long story short, eventually, watch, the poor man Lazarus dies. And it says the angels came. How many of y'all want angels to come when you die, right? The angels came and they carried him to Abraham's bosom, Abraham's side, paradise. And watch this. And then the other man dies and doesn't mention any angels. He's just buried, okay? But he's buried, but how many of you know, even when you die, you're still alive? Because when your spirit leaves you, your body dies. Your body, your suit, your earth suit drops to the ground. It's dead, right? But your spirit lives forever, either in with Christ or separated eternally from hell. All of us. We're going one place or the other. But the moment it leaves my body, my spirit, my body drops. But so watch this, and thank God we get a new body later on. But I wouldn't mind one now. But nonetheless, but watch this. This man in agony, in flames, in hell, in torment, and he looks up and he sees Lazarus with Abraham, and he cries out, "Father Abraham, I beg you, send Lazarus down, dip his fingers in water, cool my tongue. I'm in agony in these flames." And Abraham tells him, listen, you lived in luxury. Now Lazarus has been taken care of. And then watch what he says. Besides that, there's a great gulf. There's a chasm. Nobody from here can go there. And nobody from there can come here. So he reveals to him his eternal destiny sealed. It can't be changed. Listen, eternity is forever. But while we're on the earth, we determine where we go. We can't wait till we leave. We have to get our ticket now. Amen? So watch this. So once he realizes his eternal destiny is sealed, it's interesting. He begs, he cries out again, but not for himself. He says, "Father Abraham, I beg you then, would you send Lazarus to my father's house?" Why? "Because I have five brothers that must be warned of this place of torment." What's he saying? Watch this. Look what he's saying. He is screaming out then, "Would you have Lazarus go say so? Somebody tell my brothers." Listen, this was a rich man. He wasn't concerned about his estate, his will, his property. His only concern were his brothers who could still make a decision for eternity. And the only message from hell is say so, is to go tell. And I pray that we see through the eyes of eternity. Listen, I learned something a long time ago. The only thing we're taking to heaven is people. No cars, no bank accounts, no boats. People. That's really why we're still here. Oh, yeah, we're here to be conformed to the image of Christ, but when we see him, we'll be just like him. We'll see him as he is. So if that was the case, he'd take us right when we got saved. What's the praise and worship? And listen, we'll be praising him. The only thing we can still do on the earth, we can't do in eternity, is lead people to Christ, is to say so. And that's why we're still, and listen, this just keeps coming up, because I think sometimes we think, oh, I'm not worthy, I can't do that, I messed up, I blew up. But let me share something with you. Gosh, Lord, help me find it where it is. I think it's in Philippians chapter 1. He's real good. So, and maybe go to 13 or 14 or 15. Let's see. Go to verse 14. Oh, beautiful. Let's go to the next word. Okay, watch this. Paul's a cat. He's a prisoner, and he's writing to the church of Philippi. This is amazing to me. This verse jumped out to me because when I was taking Hebrews, and of course I discovered, and then somebody asked a question. As we were going through the Gospels, how can some people stand before the Lord on that day and say, "Well, Lord, we did miracles in your name. We did this in your name." And Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so how can I do a miracle in the name of Jesus and end up in hell. That didn't make sense to me, but it does when I read this. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. Let's keep reading. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Let's go. The former preach Christ, watch this, out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Keep going. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. This is amazing to me. Paul didn't care if they were selfish or false. He was excited that the gospel was preached. And it didn't make sense to me, but you know what? Let's say we have a bunch of farmers here, and we all have seed. Maybe some of us doesn't believe the seed's any good, and some of us do. As we throw the seed out, how many know, if I don't believe the seed is good, but it lands on good soil, what's going to happen? There's going to be a harvest. So Paul's rejoicing. He don't care who preaches the gospel. That blows me away, because I was thinking, I can't have messed up. I can't have sinned. Listen, let me share something with you. I remember here I was raised Muslim, growing up here in the United States. I'm in high school in Florida. I go all the way through high school, first year of college. Not one person ever shared Christ with me. I only went to one class reunion. And listen, I excelled academically, athletically, voted most likely to succeed. No one ever shared Christ with me. I went to one class reunion. I get there, there's Jeff, there's Lou, there's guys I played football with. And every one of them were serving Christ. And I was so excited, man, because I was a Christian. And they were following, and I got so excited. Tell me your stories. When did y'all become believers? When did y'all become Christian? And they all quietly dropped their heads down. And then Lou said, Salim, we were Christians in high school. I said, excuse me? You were a Christian when we played football together? Yeah. I was caught off guard, and I said, I don't understand. How come you never said anything? And listen, I ask that question all around the world, and I can tell you the answer is fear of rejecting, being rejected, fear of being mocked, fear of offending, fear of not knowing what to say, fear of other religions, other belief systems. That was none of the, you know what their answer was? It's pretty amazing to me. Jeff answers, the center for the court. Lou was the quarterback. Jeff's the center. And Jeff said, he didn't even lift his head up. He said, Salim, your life was holier than ours. They were believers, but yet they were clubbing and partying. Listen, I was fasting, praying, no alcohol, no cursing, no drugs. The coach called me preacher man. Holy man. And I was the Muslim. But there, watch this. Because their lifestyles wasn't as holy as mine, they felt like they had no right to share the gospel. And granted, we want to live lives pleasing to the Lord, amen? But let's not rob God the opportunity of having these seeds sown in other people's heart. If you don't want to tell them, invite them to church, leave them a tract. Let me tell you something, God's word never returns void. And I know I got a little off tangent there, but I'll finish with one thing. Pastor, would you mind coming up here for a second? I'm going to give a real short version of this. You stand right by my side. I'm not going to get into all the background. This is a 20-minute presentation. We're going to do it in three. Okay? But this is going to help them know, right? Because in the beginning, this holy, righteous God created man in his image for this. This is what we were created for. Amen? For this intimacy. Daddy God wanted a family. And God had a mission for man, correct? When man disobeyed, he died. What do you mean he died? Did he drop? No, he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. Because that disobedience became sin in the life of man and was now separated from this holy God who still loved man and had a plan. So God came up later with the sacrifice system, remember? After the Passover lamb, remember the blood? And what's interesting, death angel didn't look inside the house. He only looked for the blood, the power of the sacrifice. So watch this. So God set up a sacrifice system, particularly on the Day of Atonement with the high priest and the Holy of Holies. If God accepted the sacrifice, He allowed that blood for a season to cover our sin. Why? Because now Daddy God can, don't worry, Pastor, I won't do that again. But they got to see that. You got to see this. God's a father, and he's passionately in love with you and me. And he made a way even in the old covenant through sacrifice. But man kept sinning, and man had to continually sacrifice. And then God, in his wisdom, about 2,000 years ago, revealed his mystery and sent the perfect sacrifice. He sent the Lamb of God. What's his name? One more time, his name? So Jesus, the Son, comes as a lamb, crucified, dead, and buried, raised from the dead. You know the story, right? But God takes the blood of his Son, Jesus, and if we look at the scripture, he never does cover our sin. Why? Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, doesn't cover. He actually what? He takes away the sin of the world. Now, he wants to cover you and me with his blood. And Jesus, who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5, he actually became sin. Verse 21, why did he become sin? So that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to see the picture. There was a divine exchange. Our sin's already been paid for. Now, Jesus rose from the dead, overcame hell, sin, death, and the grave. And he sealed, I love this, he sealed eternal life. He says, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. It can never be stolen. That's good news, amen? But I want you to see this picture. And how do you receive it, okay? Because I don't want to leave you hanging. Because I don't believe God just wants you to understand. He wants to equip you to share this with others, right? And I think during prayer this morning, I heard Pastor who quoted this in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Why? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. It's not of works. Why? So no one can boast. So it's a gift. So I always ask this question. Have you received this gift? Have you received this gift of salvation? Have you received the righteousness of God? I've been born, I've been in church, I've been praying, fasting, that's great. But have you received the gift? I'm a servant, I'm a volunteer, I'm a member, beautiful, but have you received the gift? My dad's in ministry, that's awesome, but have you received the gift? Oh, I really don't deserve it, I've sinned pretty dark, deep, and long. Well, Jesus paid the price. Have you received this gift? And you might be saying, well, have you received this gift of salvation? Have you received the gift of righteousness? And how? We went through it. It's a belief and a confession. And if we believe and we confess, we receive this gift, it's sealed, we're a child of God. Now God, by his Spirit, comes to live inside, and now we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty amazing to me. We're the dwelling place of God. So my question is, three questions. Have you received this gift? Number two, are you allowing God by his word and his spirit to conform you to the image of his son? And then really what this message is all about, do you share this gift with this world? Do you say so? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the love you've lavished on us. Lord, it's amazing to me that you loved us so much. You sent Jesus, that through him, his death, his resurrection, you actually become our Father. Lord, as a Muslim, it was blasphemy to call you Father. Lord, it's one of my most precious names for you is Father, because of your son, Jesus. And Lord, really, it's how your love never fails, all by the grace of God. And Lord, I know this church knows you, and I know they hear your word. And Lord, even look how many are gone out even now to say so, to tell this world who you are. Lord, I keep thinking of that man in hell that said, go tell. Lord, would you seal that vision in our hearts? Would you allow us to live in the light of eternity? And Lord, help us to not walk in such condemnation because we blew it last night because I sinned that I can't share who you are. Lord, I learned a long time ago, Lord, that you said to lay aside every weight and every sin, but I can't go on unless I keep my eyes on Jesus. I got to keep my eyes on the kingdom. I can't keep my eyes on the sin and the bondage, because the more I did, the more I kept falling. And Lord, I thank you because I kept my eyes on you. I sinned less and further in between so much that I'm free to share your gospel wherever you take me. And Lord, I thank you for your love and your grace in that area. And Lord, for this church, I'm just going to ask you, I just want you to show by hands. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I want to ask you something. If you would just love greater boldness to be a greater witness for Christ, would you just boldly wave your hands to me? Lord, instill in them a heart to be your witness that, Lord, your courage and boldness rises up in them to share your love in your life. Okay, hands down. Maybe this morning you believe everything we've heard, but maybe you're just not right with God. And you just, listen, God's grace is amazing. He doesn't care where you've been. He cares where you are going. And he doesn't count how many times you fall. He counts how many times you get back up. If you're just one of those that need to get back up and recommit afresh and anew, I'm not going to ask you to stand or anything. Would you just wave to me as you would like to receive God's grace? And praise God. I see about 7 or 8 hands. Okay, hands down. I just shared this illustration of salvation. I want us to pray this prayer out loud. Everyone, what is this prayer? To receive this gift of salvation. So if you need it, you're going to pray out loud. Or if you already have it, you're going to pray out loud because you encourage those around you. Okay? So if you believe what I just shared and need it, or you already have it. So most of us should be praying out loud unless you just don't want it. So if you don't mind, put one hand on your heart. And pray like you mean. Say, dear God, I know you created me for a love relationship with you. My sin separated us. But God, you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He died on the cross. He paid for all of my sin. God, I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I repent. I repent of all my sin. And I make you the Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the power to be your witness. Give me the power to say so. And Lord Jesus, when I finish my race, and when I see your face, may I hear you say, well done. Father, I ask that you would seal this in our hearts. Lord, seal your word in such a way that you not only bring forth a harvest, but a harvest that would remain and a harvest that would multiply and reach out and touch this world with your love that never fails. Lord, may we receive your love in such a way that we allow your love, that perfect love, to cast out all fear. Knowing we're inscribed in the palm of your hand, that you watch over, bless, and keep us to fulfill the work and ministry you called us to walk in. Lord, every one of us want to finish our course, Lord. Help us to do it, Jesus.